Good morning, and welcome to the worship services of the Grace United Methodist Church on this beautiful Sunday morning. We're glad you're here. We welcome all who have joined us here in in-person worship. We are our numbers are a little higher this week than they were last week. We welcome all of you here, and remind you that participation in the worship services is limited to meditation. We ask that you meditate along with the songs, words of the songs, and with the responsive readings. Those of you at home can holler, scream, and shout, sing out loud, and worship with us. We appreciate you joining us. Just a reminder that if you are planning on attending our in-person worship services, we will need to have you register with us by Friday noon so we can make sure that we get a contact list and make sure that we have accommodations for all who want to come and join us in in-person worship. We have a daily email that goes out to our email list. If you're not receiving those emails, if you would just please contact the church office or email the pastor, we'll make sure that you get on that email list. There's a daily devotion that's part of that email, and also a daily devotion that comes out at 3 o'clock every weekday. The instructions for how to access all of these things are included in that daily email, so if you're not getting it, please contact the church office, and we'll make sure that you're on there. Also, we offer what we call a Zoom fellowship twice a week. If you're here in in-person worship services, you actually have time to get home and join that this morning. It's at 10 o'clock if you're worshiping with us at 8:30 this morning online. At 10 o'clock, there are instructions in the email that came out Friday for how to join that Zoom fellowship. It's the one on Sunday is sort of called like a coffee hour type of fellowship, and the one on Wednesday is just to catch up and give you a chance to see fellow members of your congregation and just fellowship with those people. Next Sunday, August 9th, we will be celebrating Aldersgate Sunday. Aldersgate Ministry is something that's very special to the membership here at Grace, and we were one of the founders of that ministry. We invite you to, again, look in the online bulletin for instructions for how to give towards that ministry. And we, again, it's one of those things where it has affected Grace. Grace has contributed greatly to that ministry, and we would love for you to continue doing that by giving to Aldersgate next Sunday. The Children's Council has asked me to give a very big thank you to Susan Floyd for preparing baskets for our children. I know they were delivered this week, and Karen Bryan wanted to make sure that Susan, they thanked you very much for all the work that you did for our kids. The flowers this morning are given by Ed Walters in honor of his granddaughter, Gracie. We'd love to be able to reach out and hug each of these people for welcome and wish them a happy anniversary and birthdays, but we're going to celebrate here. Dave and Sharon, Tara and Rod, Dan and Flossie, Jimmy and Deidre, and Jeff and Selena, and Jim and Cindy are all celebrating wedding anniversaries this week, and we extend our congratulations to all of them. Birthdays, we have Cindy, John, Sandra, Teresa, and our own Maxine will be celebrating a birthday this week. Happy birthday, Maxine. Maxine is here with us in in-person worship service this morning. If there are no further announcements this morning, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Let us prepare our hearts, our minds, and our spirits for worship.
As we continue in worship this morning, let us pray. Christ, who feeds us well with compassion and grace, we've come today looking for you, seeking your wisdom, your healing, your salvation. You see us and love us, knowing that we are unprepared and ill-equipped for life with you. Help us to remain with you. Keep us in your presence. Give us what we need and lack so that we can continuously draw strength, power, and passion from your Holy Spirit. We pray today in the name of the Holy Spirit who is with us. Amen.
We worship through the singing and meditating on hymn 61, Come Thou Almighty King.
Say a special word of welcome to the children worshiping with us this morning online and at home. We're glad that you're gathered together and have gathered with your families for worship this morning and joined us wherever you are and however you're watching. And this morning, I want to talk a little. I brought a little demonstration object, and this one I had to bring from home. It's one of our toys at home, a little game, a little puzzle, and you can see, you know, it's in a nice little square, but this one does something really strange. I've never really seen this before since we got one of these, but it'll open almost all the way up, and then as you kind of mess with it and play with it, you can do all sorts of things, but see, this is a risk I was taking by bringing this, because now I don't know if I can actually make it do what I want it to, but you can make it do all sorts of things, but you know, it starts as the square, and you struggle with it for a little while, and you fight it for a minute, and all of a sudden, it turns into something different. And it'll do other things. It's kind of fun to sit and see what all it'll change and transform into, but that one's always a fun one, because it goes from that nice little square into this crazy-looking thing. And in our scripture passage today, we hear about Jacob. Who was one of the early patriarchs of the faith is what we call Jacob. He was Isaac's son, who was Abraham's son. So it was Abraham and then Isaac and then Jacob. and Jacob had his brother Esau. But in this passage, we hear that Jacob is returning home. He's been gone for a long time for a lot of reasons, and he's coming home, and he's nervous. And before he goes back into his homeland, into Canaan, where he knows he's going to see his brother who he left on kind of bad terms with, he has this experience where he wrestles all night with this man that just shows up and starts struggling with him. And in the morning, when Jacob and the day breaks and he's still wrestling with this man, finally he gets the man to bless him, and then they let go and part ways. And the way the man blesses him is he says, "From now on, your name's not Jacob anymore. It's Israel." And he says, "It's Israel because you have striven, you have struggled with God and with human beings and made it through." And so Jacob gets transformed. He goes from being Jacob to Israel in this struggle, and he realizes that this man wasn't really a man, that he had been wrestling with God the whole time. Sometimes we have to struggle through stuff. Sometimes we have to do hard things. We have to find ourselves in hard situations and hard places, and we have to struggle, and that's okay. And we struggle through, but we know that on the other side we'll be transformed when we struggle with God. When we keep God in the mix, when we cling to God with everything that we have in the struggle, and come out the other side different and transformed. And so even though sometimes it's hard, sometimes things are different, sometimes things are weird, like just now, we struggle through and we come out transformed on the other side. Would you pray with me this day? Heavenly and Almighty God, we thank you that you struggle with us, that you meet us, that you help us to come through the hard times of life, that you help us to make it through the hard places, that you're willing to struggle with us when we don't understand and when we aren't sure what we're doing. We cling to you, and we ask that you would cling to us, that you would transform us and change us more and more into the likeness of Christ each day. Amen. As we turn our attention to our prayer concerns and pastoral prayer this day, I just want to remind you that if you have prayer concerns that you'd like to share with the church in worship or through the prayer concerns list in the bulletin, you can email those to me at pastor@gracecolumbia.org. You can also email them to the office, to Bill at office@gracecolumbia.org. Either way, we'll get them and make sure that they're included in our common prayer life together. On Thursday of each week, there is a prayer email that we send out. As Sam mentioned, it's one of our daily emails that goes out, and so that one is devoted completely to prayer. It includes the prayers that we pray on Sunday morning, as well as some other prayer resources for you to be able to enrich, hopefully, your prayer life as we make it through our week, as we get to that Thursday, look into the weekend, and might need a little, if you're like me, need a little boost on our prayer life as we make it through the week. So if you'd like to be added to the list, you can email me as well, or email Bill in the office, and we'll get you added to our email list. And now let us pray. Powerful and patient God, you are willing to grapple with us in our doubts and fears, to get down on our level and hear us and struggle with us through any obstacle or opposition. Give us the strength and endurance to cling to you no matter what. Hold on to us and help us to hold on to you. As we refuse to let you go, remind us to embrace our neighbors, our brothers and sisters in Christ and the world. And so today, as we embrace them, we pray especially for all those who cannot leave their homes and apartments, especially for Ernestine, Violet, Ed, Peter, Flora, June, Marion, Jeanette, and all who are highly vulnerable to COVID-19. For all those suffering from other ailments for whom treatment is now more difficult and dangerous. For the family and friends of Faye Malone Woolley, on her death, Miss Woolley was like a mother to Larry Lott. For Eddie Williams and his family in the tragic deaths of his daughter and grandchildren, Eddie was a friend, is a friend of Mary Mason. For the family and friends of Lou Ponticus at his passing after a courageous battle with cancer, he was a friend of the Nelsons. For the friends and family of George Floyd and their continued grief. For all those who are grieving, for Jackie Daniel, For Betty Arant, who has been released to her home, and we praise God for that. For Kathy Murphy and her family. For Tom, Betsy Smoke's nephew-in-law, who's recovering from COVID after being on National Guard duty. For Joan Smith, Betsy's mother, and all their family. For Mikey, Kristen, and Andrew. For Andrew, Ashley, and Emerson. For Dave and Sharon Hinke on their 53rd wedding anniversary tomorrow. For Bernard Presley, Felicia, and their family in Bernard's recovery from surgery. For Bernard's father and mother. For Luther, Bill Cranford's father. For Rita Pardue. For Janice Seeley. For Jane and Bob, Marlon McPhail's mom and dad, as his mother heals and recovers from a broken hip, and for their caregiver, Maya. For Ronald, Tom Helmke's brother, who is currently hospitalized in Florida. For Ethan and his mother, Ethan is a friend of Angus Smoke. For Bernie, Tanya, and Margaret, friends of Mary Mason. For Brian, Maxine Drake's nephew, as the source of his pain earlier was a bone spurs on his spine. For Iris, a member at Bluff Road and friend of Sandra Love, who has had a kidney transplant. For Maddie, Sandra's sister, that she would experience relief from her severe headaches. For all healthcare workers, our veterans and VA staff, and for all the members of Grace and their families, for all those on our prayer concerns list, and for those prayers that go unspoken on our hearts this day. Bless those we have named and bless us. Remind us that we are blessed to be a blessing. Remind us that you have renamed us as you have restored your image in us. We are Christians, disciples. We are known as yours, O God. Walk with us as we limp into the world, ready to show the world the good news of the God who will stay with us until we find peace and reconciliation. We ask these things in your precious name, a name that cannot be pronounced but just is. And we continue to pray as Christ taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen.
Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me.
It is the tradition of the church for the congregation to stand during the reading of the scriptures, so I invite you to stand as you're able. Our reading this morning is taken from the book of Genesis, chapter 32, verses 22 through 31, and this morning I'll be reading from the New Revised Standard Version. Hear these words of God. The same night he got up and took his two wives, his two maids, and his 11 children, and crossed the ford of Jabbok. He took them and sent them across the stream, and likewise everything that he had. Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until daybreak. When the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he struck him on the hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. Then he said, Let me go, for the day is breaking. But Jacob said, I will not let you go unless you bless me. So he said to him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob." Then the man said, "You shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have striven with God and with humans and have prevailed." Then Jacob asked him, "Please tell me your name." But he said, "Why is it that you ask my name?" And there he blessed him. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, "For I have seen God face to face, and yet my life is preserved." The sun rose upon him as he passed Peniel, limping because of his hip. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated.
So as we look at this passage, one of the things we got to kind of talk about is the fact that Jacob needs a fresh start as he enters back into the promised land. He's headed back into Canaan, back into the place where he was raised by his parents, where Abraham has lived before that, his grandfather, and he's trying to get back into the promised land, and he needs a fresh start because he didn't leave well. He didn't leave the promised land well. He didn't leave Canaan well the first time when he left 20 plus years before this passage. Right as he was leaving, he had tricked his older brother Esau out of everything that would have rightfully been his. And Esau has run him out of Canaan on the threat of death at that point. Right, you remember Jacob at first when Esau comes in, he's been out hunting and he's hungry and he comes in and Jacob has cooked a stew and he basically gets Esau to give him his birthright for a bowl of stew. And so Esau sells Jacob his birthright for a bowl of stew, and then as Isaac is laying close to death or sick at the moment, and he's planning to offer his blessing to his firstborn, to Esau, Jacob and his mother decide to dress Jacob up as Esau. Isaac's eyesight was bad, and so they put skins on his arms so that he's hairier like Esau was. They put Esau's clothes on him so that he smells like Esau, and he goes in and he receives the blessing that was supposed to be Esau's as the firstborn. So Jacob has tricked his father, he's tricked his brother out of the birthright and the blessing, and on finding out that the blessing is gone, Esau just has had enough and runs him out of Canaan. And so Jacob runs and, on the advice of his mother, goes to her family, to Laban, Jacob's uncle. And he finds Laban and he meets Rachel, who he wants to marry, who's one of Laban's daughters. And Laban says, "You'll have to work for me for 10 years in order to marry Rachel." You remember? And he works for Laban for 10 years, and it's time for the wedding, and Laban sends Leah, the other daughter. He says, "Okay, well, you're married to her for that 10 years of work. If you want to marry Rachel, you have to work for another 10 years. And so 20 years, Jacob has worked for Laban after being tricked into marrying both of Laban's daughters. And so now Jacob's returning to Canaan, but he needs to appease Esau and not get killed in the process. It seems as though maybe, just maybe, Jacob the trickster, the one who tricked his brother out of the birthright, the one who tricked his father into offering him the blessing, has learned something in 20 years of being tricked by his uncle. It turns out that no matter where you go, there's always somebody who's a little craftier, a little more quick to the draw, somebody who might be just a little smarter than you. And Jacob has maybe learned that lesson. We don't hear that explicitly in the text, but it just seems like he might have learned something in that 20 years. What do y'all think? And so here we find Jacob the night before he's going to meet Esau face to face, the night before he's going to see his brother again for the first time in 20 years after leaving really badly. I think we can understand the kind of night that Jacob has before this meeting, can't we? He's restless. He's fitful. He can't get comfortable. He can't find any rest. He's worried about what's going to happen. He's worried about how his brother will respond. He's worried about his family and what will happen to them if his brother responds poorly. He's worried about this possibility of forgiveness and reconciliation that he's hoping for, but that he knows is a long shot. But God has told Jacob to return. God told Jacob it was time to go back. And so after sending his family across the stream away from him for their safety and having sent messages and gifts on ahead to Esau over and over and over again, these ways of trying to demonstrate his true repentance, of trying to show that he really does mean it, that he wants to reconcile with his brother. After sending all this to Esau and praying to God to save him from his brother's wrath, he settles in for the night. He tries to get that rest. But finding himself alone, having sent everyone else away, all of a sudden he is wrestling with a man until daybreak. The man is not named ever in this passage. There is no indication of where he came from, only that he was there wrestling with Jacob. He just shows up. Jacob is alone, and then he's not. And not only is he not alone, he's fighting. He's trapped in the struggle. He's grappling with this other person, and this wrestling is evenly matched between the two. And Jacob won't give up or let go, even when his hip is put out of socket. The negotiation for ending the match includes Jacob requiring a blessing. He's holding so tightly. He won't give up. He's clinging so fiercely to this opponent. He won't give up and he won't let go. And so the only way to end this match, he says to this other person who has already put his hip out of socket, is give me a blessing and I'll let you go. And that blessing comes in the form of a new name, Israel. One who has striven with God and with humans. But the man won't tell Jacob his name, though. Jacob asks, and he says, "You don't need my name, but your name now is Israel." And at this point, when Jacob has received the blessing and the man has left, Jacob, now Israel, realizes that he's been wrestling with God all night. It's the only indication we get about who this grappling partner was, is Jacob realizing that it was God. He realizes he's been wrestling with God all night long, and he survived. It's in this struggle with God in the form of a man that leads to the blessing of a new name and a fresh start for Israel. And even though he leaves limping, he now goes forward to meet his brother in the knowledge that he has wrestled with God and lived to tell the tale. He goes forward knowing that God was willing to come and wrestle with him through the night in order to give him a new name and a fresh start. So he goes out to meet Esau. And that's where our passage pretty much ends. He gives the place a name to signify the moment of wrestling with God. But he walks off, limps off to go meet Esau. And that's the last we hear this week. And as much as we don't like it, I think that today and every day, and I don't know how many days more, we're going to need to reframe our current situation of social distancing and masks and crazy weird worship and policies and guidelines and temperature checks and everything else that comes with all this and not seeing people we want to see. I think we have to reframe all of this current situation that we find ourselves in as a time of separation meant for some wrestling alone with God. This isn't to say that God caused all of this for us to experience this wake-up call. I believe that God has always been ready to enter the struggle with us. God's been waiting on us to decide we wanted to wrestle. God's been waiting on us to decide we were willing to enter into the hard conversations. But this moment in history provides us as the church, as disciples, with a unique opportunity to do just that, to decide we're going to wrestle with God, right? We need to examine the ways that we have failed to be the church and failed to live into the promises of discipleship that we have made and seek a fresh start right now. And everybody's been sent away. Whether we like it or not, we're socially distanced. And there's space for us to wrestle with God. Jacob had to reckon with how he had failed to be a good brother and son before finding a fresh start in Canaan. He had to own up to it and decide he wanted to do something about it, to change and to have that fresh start. And then he entered the struggle with God, and then he got his new name ready to go back into the land. This will require struggle, this moment that we're in, this period of history we find ourselves in. It has been a struggle already, and it will require more struggle before it's done. And we don't like to talk about that. We don't like to talk about struggle, but we're going to have to wrestle with God about the new thing that God is doing and the new name that God is trying to give us for this new thing that is coming. Whatever God's going to do next on the other side of this, the only way we get to it is through the struggle. But we've been so busy worrying about getting back to normal, getting back instead of through, that we may be missing the ways that God is calling us to wrestle our way through this moment in our history and life together so that we have the new name on the other side, so that we're ready to do the new thing, so that we can be prepared to proclaim the gospel in whatever new way is going to be necessary that we don't even know yet. We spend so much time trying to get back that we're not wrestling through. So maybe, just maybe, you and I should stop trying to get out of this without a limp. Maybe we should stop trying to get back and face the God who is squarely in front of us, inviting us to struggle through this with God. God has always been in front of us. God puts God's self in front of us all the time and invites us to struggle. To struggle with God through life. Through the ups and downs, through the grief and the heartache, through the celebrations and the blessings. God is always squarely in front of us, inviting us to struggle through life with God, but right now we have the space to see it. We have the space to see God. We find ourselves alone, wrestling whether we like it or not, and we might as well face God and struggle through this, grapple through it, wrestle through it, so that on the other side we can walk out with a new name, a renewed mission, a fiery passion for the gospel, a deeper commitment to the cause of Christ in the world, and a more excellent way to be the people of God. That's what we can find on the other side of the struggle. If we enter into it with God, we will find a new name in this. God will give us a new name in this, a new identity as Christians, a renewed identity as Christians, a renewed commitment to the mission that God has given us to know Jesus and make him known to others, a fiery passion for the good news of Jesus Christ, that he lived with us and died for us and was raised for our sake, and a deeper commitment to that cause in the world, to making sure that everybody knows about this grace, that they know that they are loved, that they know that even if they feel like the least, the last, and the lost, that Christ has come to tell them that God loves them and that they are a child of God. If we commit ourselves to this struggle, we will be transformed and strengthened, and on the other side, we will have found a more excellent way to be the church in this world. A more excellent way to be disciples in this world. A more excellent way to be the people called Christians, the identity that we've already taken on in our baptism. We'll find a more excellent way to live into that name that God has given us. So maybe, just maybe, we are meant to be wrestling alone right now. As hard as that is, as long as it takes, maybe that's the way through. There is no way back. But that's the way through. Wrestling with God alone. As the church, as Christians, the people of God. Would you pray with me? Heavenly and Almighty God, we know that we need a fresh start. We needed one before all this. We need one every day. We need one every time we wake up. We need a fresh start in you. We need a fresh start in your gospel. We need a fresh start with your salvation and redemption. We need a fresh start with your holiness. We need a fresh start. We need your grace to get it. We need your grace that strengthens us. We need your grace that gives us courage to face the struggle. We need your grace that gives us hearts that are ready to own up to our past failings and sins. We need your grace that gives us the determination to confess and repent and turn our life back towards you, to apologize, to seek reconciliation with you and with other people. We need your grace to make it through the struggle. And while we might feel alone, we know that you are there wrestling with us. That you are inviting us to go through this with you. To stop trying to get around it, to stop trying to go back, but instead to go through with you. Help us to cling to you. Make it so that we are strong enough not to let go. Not until daybreak. Amen. I invite you now to reaffirm your faith using the Apostles' Creed. As we proclaim what we believe. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
As we prepare to give back to God out of all that God has so graciously given to us through our tithes and offerings, I want to remind you about our giving options at Grace. You can continue to give online at gracecolumbia.org. We've got two giving links there on the homepage. When you go to our website, there's one on the right-hand side up near the top of the page and one on the left about midway down. If you're on a mobile device, as you navigate there, you'll have to scroll all the way to the bottom and you'll find the giving links there at the bottom of the mobile page. There are also options there that'll guide you through text giving. If you'd rather give by text, the instructions for text giving are on the webpage, and you can have those for the next time or use them right then and there. From that giving page, you can set up an account or you can give as a guest. You can set up a recurring gift or give one time. And you can give to our general operating fund or to one of our other funds for ministry and mission. You can also give by mailing in your offering or dropping it by the church using the mailbox outside. The mailbox outside is secure. It's a great place to come and drop off your offering if you're out and about and want to save that stamp. So feel free to use that. For those worshiping in person today, if you didn't place your offering in the offering plate coming in, you'll have an opportunity to utilize those as you leave worship today. So you can place your offering in the offering plate if you brought it with you this morning as you're leaving. So I do want to just say another word that next week is the Aldersgate Ministry Sunday. And so we want to make plans to give to Aldersgate. I hope you'll make plans to give to Aldersgate Special Needs Ministry, a ministry of the South Carolina Conference of the United Methodist Church. It's not an apportioned item, which means that our apportionment giving, our connectional missional giving to the Methodist Church it's not listed as one of the lines that it's supported by that. So they receive their support from us, from these offerings that come throughout the year and give us an opportunity to be a part of that ministry and a part of their mission. So I hope that you'll make a plan to do that. The Aldersgate Special Needs Ministry is set up as one of the special giving opportunities online. So you can give to Aldersgate from our online giving portal if that's the best way for you to do so. And it's already up and live, so you can use that whenever you're ready this month, and we'll be glad to get that money to Aldersgate to support their ministry. This morning, as we continue to kind of celebrate some things, I just want to celebrate all the people who took our worship survey and helped us have some great feedback. We had lots of folks who responded to that survey. About I think the final number was close to 70, which is a pretty good turnout. It's about half the people we sent it out to. And so I'm really grateful for all the ways that y'all helped us to have some data and some information about where you are in our return to in-person worship. But one of the things as we continue to evaluate, we promised in our guidelines and told you in our guidelines we'd be evaluating after a month. And we'll continue to evaluate this return to in-person worship process. But as we've evaluated what we've been doing so far for a month, one of the things that has really lifted up is that we're going to need more volunteers, a volunteer pool, in order to be able to do worship in person moving forward. So far, our return to in-person worship team has primarily served as our worship volunteers. Them plus one other person have come to be the folks who've done the check-in process and the registration process, the ushers and the pieces that make our return guidelines work. But in order to effectively and safely bring people in and out of our worship experience, we're going to need some more to rotate in and to spread the work, the service out over the church. So in order to continue offering our in-person worship each week, we're going to need a minimum of eight more volunteers who can serve on a rotating basis. So we'll be reaching out over the course of the next week or weeks to try and get more volunteers to help us in this process of having an in-person worship process and procedures and service so that we can continue to adequately staff our worship service with volunteers to be able to feel good about moving forward with in-person worship as we continue to evaluate our ability to offer it. So if you would like to go ahead and volunteer to serve, you can email me at pastor@gracecolumbia.org, and I'll pass along your contact information to those who are coordinating our volunteers on Sunday morning. So please consider that, pray about it, and again, you'll be hearing more about it in the coming days and weeks related to volunteering for in-person worship. So having prepared our hearts and lives to give back to God, let us pray. Merciful and gracious God, you are slow to anger and abound in steadfast love. You are good to all. Your compassion is over all that you have made. You uphold all who are falling and raise up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food in due season. You opened your hand, satisfying the desire of every living thing. You are just in all your ways and kind in all your doings. You are near to all who call on you in truth. You hear our cries and save us. You watch over us. Our mouths will speak your praises and bless your holy name forever. May these gifts, our tithes and offerings, be the first fruits of our ongoing praise. May they be a sign and a renewing of the covenant we made with you to be your people. All praise and honor is yours. Amen.
Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
To God be the glory, great things he hath done.
To God be the glory, great things hath done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son, who yielded his life an atonement for sin, and opened the life gate that all may go in. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the earth hear his voice. the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he hath done.
Amen. Our mission at Grace is to know Jesus and make him known to others. Just as we receive the benediction, just want to remind you that if you want to join us for our fellowship time at 10 o'clock, on Zoom. You can check your emails if you're on our daily emails, and if you don't have it, can't find it, you can send me an email right now if you're watching before 10 o'clock, pastor@gracecolumbia.org, and I'll share the information with you so you can join us in fellowship this day. Now receive this benediction. Go forth into the world ready to be the people of God who are blessed to be a blessing, to show the world what it means to live in the light of God's glory and God's grace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Lord, this is our